Well, welcome back, everybody. Here we are in the green room, our Detroit News Michigan State podcast. Had a little week off there, so hopefully we didn't lose everybody. But quite frankly, there's not a lot going on. So we'll do our best. Anyway, I'm joined here by my cohort, Tony Paul, as usual. How you doing, Thank you. Tony?
Very good. You? It's my birthday. You know that, right?
That's right. You're Now, you tell me you're 41, but anyone who sees the picture of you with white hair, I look
twice as old now because I haven't had a haircut in 3 months and haven't shaved either. I'm lazy.
Well, I'm not buying it. So you only look at, I think you're quite a bit older than our guests.
Yeah, probably. Just a hair.
So hopefully we, as we said before, we're trying to get some folks on here, some Michigan State folks, keep everyone interested in, of course, the NFL draft coming up this week, beginning Thursday, which will be a whole new ball game, all this remote draft. It'll be interesting to see how it works. But obviously, Michigan State quarterback Brian Lewerke is hoping to hear his name called here in the next few days, and he joins us now. And thanks for taking the time, Brian. How you doing?
No problem. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
All right. So first of all, where are you in Phoenix, or where the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm down in Arizona right now.
Okay, with your parents, and is that the whole deal?
Yep, parents, brother, and sister.
So, all right, what is quarantine life like back home with the whole family?
It's better than being by myself, for sure. Got a little bit more entertainment. And Arizona is not as severe quarantine-wise as it is in Michigan. We don't have as many cases, so it's not quite as, you know, stay-at-home type of order. There's still some stuff open, more stuff probably than Michigan, but pretty good. I guess I'm just trying to hang in as much as best I can.
So you're not doing like any weird like family TikToks or anything where you guys are acting like fools because you're about to lose your mind?
Well, not full family. We did. My sister made me do one with my cousins and my brother and then a couple other people. But the parents.
Are you hoping nobody sees that TikTok or what? You know.
My friend. Pretty quickly, so once I made it, I knew it was probably going to get found out eventually.
Well, I'll have to go searching for it now. Yeah, I want to see what this one.
I'm going to do that right now while you guys chat.
There's a chance it might end up somewhere. We'll see. So if you're not stuck in that, are you able to work? Like, what's your workout plan? Like, what are you doing? Can you throw to people? I mean,
yeah. The parks are still open down here. And my quarterback coach I had back when I lived here is still training guys. And we get 3 or 4 guys to catch every time we go out. And I'm throwing with a couple other college quarterbacks. I'm still staying in shape as far as my arm, but I don't have a place to lift. So I'm trying to just do whatever I can to keep my strength up.
There's no odd, you know, we've seen some interesting workouts out there, people lifting tires and all sorts of stuff. Are you doing anything weird or crazy?
I'm doing curls with like the 5 gallon water jugs. The water containers. I do curls with that. That's probably the only weird thing though. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So you're able to get out and throw. Could you imagine if you were like here in Michigan, you mentioned it, like people can't really go do anything as a quarterback, what, I mean, you got to throw. You got to have guys to throw to. Could you imagine not being able to do any of that?
I know it would not be fun, especially you know it's sunny down here every day, and it's in Michigan. I heard it snowed a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So that definitely would not be ideal. But I mean, I still have like receiver. I could probably throw to my dad, just to keep my arm loose. I wouldn't really be doing much route running, but it'd just be kind of throwing back and forth to him.
Just so you know, Cody White told me last week that his sister was throwing to him.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard
she said she's getting better, but you know, I'm sure he's a little bit limited. Of course, that like you said, it's been snowing. So
yeah.
Anyway, so you know, you're at this point now. Obviously, the draft's coming up. What does it feel like? I mean, I know it's different for everybody because it's going to seem different in terms of you know, everyone's not in a ballroom and all that. But what are your feelings now that it's only a few days away, something that you've kind of worked for a long time?
It's kind of surreal. I'm just waiting for the time to pass by. I don't really have much going on this week besides probably throw tomorrow. But other than that, I'm just kind of sitting around, laying outside, doing some yard work maybe. But I'm just kind of just waiting for time to pass. And I'm very excited for for Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
Has there been? Have you been in contact with? I know you're at the combine. Has there been contact with teams still throughout this?
Yeah, I've done multiple like Zoom calls, FaceTimes, and just regular phone calls with a few teams. Kind of going over the same stuff we did at the combine, but just doing it again and going more in depth.
You know, I was looking up some stuff, and it's kind of funny. And I always wonder what this feels like when you're reading all these. I don't know what you read or what you pay attention to, if anything. Mm-hmm. But when you hear people start and they start breaking down, you know, ranking the quarterbacks or ranking a position, you got to read all about yourself or what a scout says or what this says. Is that weird kind of seeing that, like how they break every little thing down and not everything's exactly positive? Is it kind of strange reading these things? About
yeah, people? Definitely. I mean, back when I was in college, my first year, I would search my name after like every game. Be like, oh, people are talking about me. That's so cool. And then, you know, like my junior and senior year, I stopped doing that because it was, you know, you know, now I've kind of just gotten used to that you know, people are going to talk, and it is a little weird sometimes. Like, even when people are complimentary about you, it's like, what do you really know about, like, you know, about me? I mean, if you've maybe talked to me, you can kind of figure it out a little bit, but just, it is a little interesting, but it's kind of cool sometimes too, just to see your name out there.
Yeah. I think it's weird, especially around the combine, all the odd stuff they break down and they think is important. It's strange to me. I don't know if I would want to read that about myself, so I can see why you're, especially after, and I can understand the last couple of years of Michigan State saying, oh, the hell with this. I'm not paying attention to this anymore.
Yeah.
Is that probably one of the harder things you learn as you do this longer, that you can't really worry about what other people are saying out there?
That's probably the biggest lesson I've learned is, you know, I always thought everyone was my ally, and, you know, people always were saying nice things about me, and, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen, and you kind of just got to ignore all the bad stuff.
What was the you talk about that? What was the, like, some of the bad stuff you read or did you ever get any, like, emails from fans or anything like that stand out?
I mean, definitely got the Instagram DMs, the Twitter DMs, people saying you suck. Why'd you come to Michigan State? All that stuff, you know, the typical stuff. Never got any emails, or actually, every year we get an email from a Michigan fan that, like, just talking about how Michigan's gonna beat the crap out of us or something, sends it to like our entire team. Somehow gets our school email or something, some crazy fan, but that's about it, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta close those DMs then.
Yeah. I know.
I can't imagine, I gotta be honest, I can't imagine taking that much time out of my life to get everybody's email from a team I don't like anyway.
I know.
I've never understood that. I can't imagine.
But funny that, yeah, he took the time to do that, but it's whatever.
But, you know, obviously it's one of those things, too. I feel like we always – it's always a few of the vocal minority. You know, you hear the negative. But, I mean, obviously early in your career, things were going really well. Did you hear a lot of the positive stuff, too? Especially, I want to say, after, like, 17, when everything was really going well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in 17 to 18, there was some draft guys that had me going like top five in the draft. If I had another good year in 18, I would have gone like top five in the 19 draft. And, you know, I see all the good things. I see all the bad things. I try to stay away from it now, but back then I did. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, at that age, it's kind of, I know you could say, I'm not going to read it, but that's kind of, it's got to bug you a little bit when you, right? I mean,
for sure. And, you know, especially, I wasn't like a high level recruit coming out. I mean, I was a 3-4 star, but I wasn't like, you know, the number one guy in the class, and people weren't really talking about me. And then when I started playing, it's just kind of cool to hear your name being thrown out there in the college football world. And so you want to look up stuff and see what people are saying. And sometimes it's not the greatest.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the last live, I guess, sporting things we had going on was, or one of the last was the combine. And, you were there. I'm just kind of curious, what was that experience like, and what did you go into it trying to accomplish or prove?
I think, first of all, I thought it was a really cool experience. I was very happy to be invited to that and very grateful. Met a lot of cool guys and talked to a lot of coaches that I think I impressed a lot. the thing I wanted to do was just be able to show that I am an accurate passer. And, you know, obviously you want a quarterback that can – it's expected to throw well in shorts, and I want to just kind of confirm that and to prove that I can do that. And I think I did throw very well, and I think I killed the meetings too. Michigan State prepared me well with just offensive terminology. I knew a lot of things that guys – that coaches in the NFL were saying. The terminology, like the wording was a little different, but the overall concepts were kind of the same. So I was used to that.
Tell me a little bit about – I've always been curious, what is the Wonderlic test like? Is it like a SAT or what is that? Yeah.
So one night we're just, you know, it's kind of like a mix of interviews, and then we do a couple psychological tests. And then it was one morning they put us all in a big room, and they hand us the sheets and all that. And it's you got 12 minutes to answer as many as you can. Yeah. So it'll give you like two words, and say, are these words similar, different, or the same, or similar, different, or not related at all. And, it just has questions like that. A couple of those questions. And it sounds easy, but it can be kind of difficult when you got 50 questions to answer them. So it kind of goes by quick, and you just got to be quick on your toes.
It looks like you had a pretty good score, though. I read one report said 25, but then they fixed it, said you had a 30. Mm. So what did you – do you know what you had, or you just take it and you move on?
No clue. I heard from my agent a couple weeks after the combine, but they don't tell you right after. And when I heard I had a 25, I was kind of surprised because I felt like I didn't. And I was like, man, I thought I would at least got a 30 on it. So right. I was kind of happy when the report came out and said I actually had a 30.
Well, yeah, average for a quarterback is 24. So, yeah. 30 is pretty good.
And I think Tua had like something not good. I don't know. It was something in the teens.
His first report was like a 13. The second was like 18, I think.
Yeah. So the Wonderlic test, the questions are odd, but in interviews with team, sometimes guys say they get some bizarre questions. Did you have any strange questions from a team that you were like, what the hell is that all about?
No, not really, honestly. I didn't have any formal interviews with teams, so I didn't meet with any GMs or head coaches. And the coaches that I talked to were just – it was either the OC or the quarterback coach. And they – honestly, I didn't really have any weird questions. Then you can kind of tell when they're trying to, like, get on your bad side and see how you react. Like they'll say, they'll kind of bring up some bad film and then say, what are you thinking here? This is a horrible throw. And right. just kind of see if you like get a little defensive or something. But yeah, nothing really crazy.
Too bad you couldn't have had like when Connor Cook was still there, they were still doing the John Gruden quarterback thing. So if he was still doing that, that might've been,
I know that would've been fun.
That would've been something to see, but so obviously the combine's a good deal, but you feel like, I know you didn't get the pro day, and I know you wanted to improve on some things in the pro day, but do you feel like you came out of this whole thing with some people having a better idea of what you are or better feelings about you moving forward?
Definitely. I think the big thing was just being able to go to the combine, even though I didn't have the pro day, and I was looking forward to maybe running another 40 and then just throwing a little more to, you know, show my arm off. I think just being able to be at the combine, it was an opportunity that a lot of guys didn't have, some maybe smaller school guys. And I think that it definitely helps me just to be one of those guys that people can say, hey, I saw him like a month ago throw, and I know what he brings to the table, and I interviewed him, so I know what he brings to the table.
It's funny, too, because you feel like in these things, too, you feel like people are all over the map. You'll see one thing say, Brian Lewerke's not rated very high, and then you read another thing where people are like, wow, there's several coaches that really love the guy and could go anywhere from middle of the draft to undrafted. Does that make it kind of, I mean, that's just got to feel odd too, like I have no idea what's going to happen these next few days.
I really have no idea, and that was kind of what my agent was saying too, is that when he talks to teams, there's either teams that really like me or teams that just don't even want to look at me at all. So it's kind of in between depending on what team you talk to. But it is a little weird not knowing really at all where I'm going to go.
So are you going to plan on watching most of it or following, or are you just going to say the heck with it, I'll wait till I hear from somebody?
No. I'm definitely going to watch all of it starting on Thursday. I always did, even, you know, in years past just for fun. So I'll definitely do that.
are you in contact with a lot of your team? I know a lot of your former teammates are kind of in the same boat you are of can go anywhere in this thing and aren't real sure where it's going to go. Are you guys, do you still talk to them a lot? And are you talking about how you're going to handle these next few days? And is it going to be stressful? I mean, I don't know. Is this stressful for you?
It's not. I honestly don't feel too stressed just because, you know, I don't have any control about where I go. So there's no point in stressing about it. But we do have like a little group chat of all the guys in draft eligible right now that we're all talking with. And I was rooming back up with Joe Bocci up in East Lansing. So I was back when we were still there when we still thought we had a pro day. And I talked with Kenny and Joe and Higby and all those guys at lunch still, yeah.
So has graduation calmed down Kenny Willekes any, or is he still as out of his mind as he's always been?
He's calmed down a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear that he's
– I mean, on the field, he's still crazy. And he can flip a switch and be crazy whenever he wants, honestly. But overall, a crazy guy making – dumb decisions.
Yeah, I don't want people to think crazy like bad, crazy like fun. No. He's a fun, crazy guy. So I wanted to ask you, too, about were you surprised? I mean, I haven't had a chance to ask you this. Were you surprised when Mark D'Antonio decided to step away when he did? Did that?
I was, yeah, actually a little bit. I was kind of thinking just, you know, with his age and the way the program was, I was thinking maybe in like a year or two after this one, he might step down. But I definitely wasn't thinking it would be after this past season, especially kind of late in the year or late in the beginning of the year. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
How tough, we've talked about this a little bit, but you go back to 17, and it looked like things had turned around. And then the last couple of years, it just never, you know, it never really got going. I mean, how tough were those times around the team? I know it was hard for him. I know it was hard for you guys there. But does that kind of wear on a guy too? That's like, you know, maybe now is the right time to go after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it did a little bit, just the way that, like you said, that our, how high the expectations were going into 18. And then even after a lackluster year, the expectations were still kind of high going into 19. I think that definitely weighs on him, and it obviously sucks for us, but we just kept playing. That was our mindset, just to keep playing. And I think it kind of might have weighed on Coach D a little bit, yeah.
Do you have any regrets from your 5 years, something you wish? I mean, I know everyone wishes they won more, but
yeah. Other than not getting hurt, no. Yeah. I wish I could have won a Big Ten championship while I was playing. That would have been ideal, but, you know, some things just don't happen like that.
Well, what about like what if moments? You mentioned that, like, how things would have gone differently that redshirt freshman year if you don't get hurt against Michigan. I think of that first one. Like, what if that season ends differently and you finish the season starting? Do you ever think about those things too?
Back in 16?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But I'm kind of thankful for my injury in that year, just because when I was sitting on the bench or when I was sitting out because I had the broken leg, I put on like 15 pounds, and I think it really helped me build a better college body and be better prepared. And I still had spring ball, didn't have any tendon tears or anything like that, and I didn't need surgery. So it was small enough break where I could still come back quickly after it.
Right. And obviously the 18 injury. Do you think people ever really appreciated what you were playing through that year with the shoulder?
I don't know if it's – I don't know if it's to word it like that, but it definitely there's, I couldn't really raise my arm above I couldn't really raise my elbow above my shoulder at sometimes. And I was still trying to play through it. So I don't know if people really realize the extent of how bad I actually was hurt, and I was still trying to play through it. So I guess in that sense, yeah.
And then obviously, you know, 19, your last year didn't go exactly as we said, in terms of wins and all that, but what do you take away overall from these 5 years? What's going to be the most lasting thing for you from your 5 years at Michigan State?
Just the memories with my teammates, I think, is a big thing. There's nothing like a college team. The records, obviously, that I set there, I'll definitely hold on to those. until someone breaks them, probably. But I think just having my name in the record books is pretty cool. And then being able, even though I wasn't playing, to be able to win a Big Ten championship my true freshman year was fun.
Well, that was a playoff year too, right? I mean, you probably had to figure out Big Ten titles, playoffs. You know, this happens all the time, right?
That's exactly what I tell everyone. Like my first year, we win the Big Ten, only have one loss, and then we make it to the playoffs. And I'm like, man, this is really fun. This is how it is every year. I can definitely do this.
Yeah, the only thing I want to mention, I thought about too. It's like you talked about your records just a second ago, and one of those is your total yardage and your ability to run the ball and all that. And then I read these things that say Brian Lewerke's not that athletic. Do you see that and say, well, wait a minute, I feel like I ran for a lot too. Is that? I mean, maybe you're not your typical dual threat quarterback, but it still seems kind of odd when you look at the numbers that you were able to put up.
Yeah, I don't really get that either. Maybe people just base it off my 40 time inside of the combine where I didn't run very well, and they see, oh, 4.95, this guy must not be fast. But I think, I obviously had 1,000 yards rushing, and I was pulling away from guys on long touchdown runs. So if you watch the film, you'll definitely see that I'm an athletic dude. That's definitely something I hope to bring to the table for a team.
An athletic guy. So if you weren't a football player, what would you be playing?
I don't know. I wasn't very good at basketball, probably baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A pitcher, right? Probably.
Yeah. Pitcher, shortstop, one of the two.
So, okay. And the other thing too, when you graduated, you did your little LeBron James thing. You remember that back in the commencement? All right. So who's the great, did you watch the first part of the Michael Jordan thing?
I did.
Where are you in that debate? The whole Michael Jordan, LeBron James thing.
It's hard because I never watched him play, but after watching the documentary, my theory is that, I don't think the players in that age were quite up to par with what the NBA is now. So I think if you put Michael Jordan in this NBA nowadays, he would be one of the top one or two players in the league, but I don't think he would be considered the best player of all time.
Wow. Now you got to imagine from an old guy like me who did see Jordan in his prime.
I know. And it's tough because, Jordan was the first one to do, set all these records and be really – and obviously he won six championships, so you got to put some on that. But I've always had LeBron.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right about the play. Everyone's – I think in every sport, guys are just better physical specimens than they were, 25, 30 years ago. But, man, that guy, that Michael Jordan guy, he was something else.
And my dad always says that. He said that guy was different. And I'm like, so was LeBron.
He is. There's no doubt about that. I guess when you start talking about who's the best ever and you're talking about two, three, four guys, you're kind of nitpicking among the best. But I suspected you were a LeBron guy. I just, I'm not a huge NBA guy to begin with. But
I got a Heat jersey, a Cavs jersey, and a Lakers jersey of his.
Well,
so.
I don't even know why I bothered asking then, of course.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, you definitely better close those DMs now.
Well, it depends on the age group listening.
No, that's true. That's true, but
that's fine. If I had a Michael Jordan, he finished with the Bullets or whatever. If I had a Michael Jordan Bullets uniform,
that would be
we're talking. Or when he played baseball or whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
White Sox jersey.
The year that he just decided to walk away for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wink, gotcha. Wink, nudge,
wink,
nudge.
Yeah.
What about – I want to ask you a little bit about Michigan State real quick. You know the guys in that quarterback room better than most people, and that's obviously the big question going forward for Michigan State whenever they might play again. Yeah. How would you kind of break down that room? And I know we saw Rocky a little bit here and there the last couple of years, but how would you assess those guys in that room?
Yeah, I think, Rocky's obviously a natural leader. That's just kind of his personality. He's a very good talker. He's a big physical dude. And obviously whipped the ball really hard. And he's smart. His dad's a football coach, so he came in knowing football. Theo's a little bit more of a quiet guy, but he's honestly hilarious. I love talking with him. And he's obviously got the size and the arm, I think, too. And then Peyton's the young guy. Obviously comes from a coaching background too. His dad's, he knows football. And I remember hearing from all the scout team guys, or all the defensive players last year, you know, when Payne was on the scout team, saying, man, this guy's gonna be something special. So I'm excited to see what they do, honestly. Same as everyone else.
So you're gonna tell us right now who should start, right?
Yeah, honestly, people, like, my close friends have asked me that, and I honestly don't have an answer because I don't know, and I think each one has great abilities, but I'm not. I honestly don't know who's going to be it.
Do you still keep in contact with them? Like, what? I guess what I'm trying to get toward is what are their reactions so far with the change in staff and Coach Tucker and all the position guys? How, I mean, they haven't had a ton of time with them outside of on a computer, but
yeah.
What has been their reaction so far?
I still talk with. I was closer with Theo and Rocky. I talked to them a little bit, and they said that they like Coach Johnson a lot. He's a smart dude, and they enjoy being – he's a fun guy to be around too. Coach Tucker is kind of – I've heard he's kind of a little bit like Coach D in the sense that he's mellow, but he's maybe a little more lively. He's like a lively mellow, if that makes sense.
Right.
He's not like a screamer, but – He's still intense.
Yeah.
Lively mellow, that would be like one of those two words. Are they not similar on the Wonderlic test?
Yep, there you go. That would be one of the easier questions too.
Nice. What about, did you ever get a chance to meet Coach Tucker?
No, I didn't. I went to the facility a couple times before it got closed down. I met the strength coach, Coach Novak, but I wasn't able to meet Coach Tucker or any of the coaches for that matter.
Right. And there was a thing there that he's making a thing about, he was making it clear, like, all former players, you guys are all welcome back. And someone was saying, like, oh, Coach D wasn't really like that. And I'm like, I don't know where that came from.
I don't really know where that came from, because Coach D is the most nice, warm-hearted, genuine person I've ever met. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they just weren't able to get in contact with him. But, you know, I can't see any situation where Coach D wouldn't let a former player back in.
I mean, because you guys had honorary captains, all that stuff. I felt like guys were around. We saw them fairly regularly. It just seemed kind of odd to me.
Yeah, I did too.
Huh. Well, that'd be good obviously you guys – I know some guys were still there and hoping to work out there, but obviously this throws it all for a loop. But I'm about done. Tony, you got anything else for our?
Well, I'm just curious. Do you have a? I mean, obviously you want to play in the NFL, but if you had a dream team to play for, who would you want to play for?
Yeah, I don't know. I always said, because I was born in Seattle, so I was a fan of the Seahawks growing up, and then I moved to Arizona, so I kind of became a fan of the Cardinals. But I'm not really a fan of either right now. I did become a big Lions fan there. I'm not sure if Michigan natives would like me in a Lions uniform. But some place with either a big city or you know, warm weather, I think would be ideal.
I don't know how many people I've heard in my life say they come to Michigan and become a Lions fan.
Yeah.
I know. I just like how passionate the fans are about their team.
Well, they're passionate. That's one way to
describe
it.
They are. They're very passionate.
So yeah. When you live here, and I've lived here most of my life, at some point you get frustrated and you pick another team. So, you know, when I was like 14 or whatever and John Elway was doing the drive with the Broncos, you know, you just pick another team because you're just tired of – you're tired. So, yeah, that's just kind of funny that you had become
a Lions. That's Charbonneau, though. He's a front runner.
Front runner, get out of town. You think I like the Yankees and Duke basketball?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's somebody else. How are you going to watch it? The draft. I mean, would you have in normal times had friends and family over, and how are you going to watch this thing unfold?
Yeah, I probably would have made it a little bigger deal than what I'm going to have. I'll probably have like close family, and then obviously my brother, sister, parents, all them. That's probably all we'll have here. Keep it nice and small.
Oh, no nervousness, all excitement.
Honestly, no, I don't really have any nerves. No. Maybe Wednesday night and Thursday night I might, but right now, no. Gotcha.
Well, and then if once it does happen, no one has any idea when the hell training camps and mini camps will be anyway. So
yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know. I assume it's probably all going to be canceled. The first thing I have is training camp in August. So I don't really know what I'm doing from now till then.
All right. All right. Well, that's the deal here. So I think everyone's going to be paying attention, see where you're going to go. Good luck. I mean, it could be – so what is it, Friday, Thursday? Friday has round two and three, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and then Saturday's 4-7.
Yep.
So unless we're all way off and you're a first-round pick and we've missed it. So we should
you did beat Tua in the Wonder League test, so maybe the Lions will trade down to or trade up to trade down to get you, or who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
So I would say we'll start paying attention Friday, and it does feel like one of those things that could go at any point, and you know, you'll just be the next Michigan State quarterback in the NFL. I mean,
there's a few of you. It's a growing fraternity.
I love it.
Do you hear from any of those guys still? Like, Brian Hoyer just is never going to go away. I mean, that guy's going to be in the league for 30 years.
I haven't heard from Brian. I talked to Drew and Kirk a little bit. Haven't heard from them in probably a while, but it is cool just to be able to have that open line of communication whenever I need it.
Well, Kirk Cousins is big time now, so you know he gets the big contract.
Well, I do have the same agent as him, so I have an easy way to communicate with Kirk when I want
to. All right, so when we see Kirk again, we're going to tell him, you know, quit big time and Brian Lewerke. He needs to.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, well, that's gonna. Yeah, I guess that's gonna do it, Brian. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Good luck this week, and we'll be paying attention. Hope it all works out for you.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Brian.
So there you have it. There's Brian Lewerke. Obviously, he's going to be on the edge of his seat here the next few days. It is really weird, Tony. It's like he's one of those guys, honestly. You can see him going, third, fourth round, or you can see him being a free agent. It really is. It's been so – I just honestly, I've read stuff all over the map on him. So
yeah. You know, it's interesting. I mean, he obviously didn't have the Michigan State career that he probably wanted on a whole.
Yeah.
But who knows how much injuries played a part of that. Obviously, the one season they certainly did.
Yeah.
Something about these Michigan State quarterbacks that find a way to get in the NFL and stick around for forever, or even become very rich men like Kirk Cousins.
Even think about Brian Hoyer and Drew Stanton, guys like that have.
I mean, they've been around forever.
I'm telling you, that's that you get these smart guys that understand the game, and that's what Brian Lewerke is. There's not going to be anything that overwhelms him in terms of how to approach the game. Yeah, is he a little limited physically from some other guys? Sure, but
do we count Nick Foles in that Michigan State fraternity?
No, come on. I mean, we all know he was technically at Michigan. Not technically, he was at Michigan State. He was in that room with Cousins and Keith Nichol and. But you know, Michael,
there's a name for the past too,
right? Was Hoyer done? Yeah, I can't even remember. But there's that one picture. Well,
who threw the pass to Nichol?
When
the game, the Wisconsin game, right?
Oh, that was Kirk Cousins. That was 2000. Okay. That was 11. That was Cousins' senior year. They were they were all firmly entrenched by then. But yeah, that was quite the crew. And Nick Foles saw, well, I'm not going to win this one.
Not going to work out too well.
Off he went, but. I mean, if you want to, if you want to wave the green and white pom-poms, this is the Green Room Podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Then you can say Nick Foles. You can, I guess you can't say Connor Cook. But,
Yeah.
He
had a minute in the XFL. So
we're staying positive, right?
Yeah, that's, I guess, yeah. No, he was good. Brian was good, I'm just, you could tell that, he tried to make it seem like something didn't bother him, but boy, when it was reported that he got the 25 in the Wonderlic, you could get a sense that really pissed him off.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't get a 25.
I was looking it up today, 24 is average, so 25 and 30 is a big difference there. You could tell that really kind of gnawed at him a little bit, more than other stuff we asked him about.
Yeah, he was happy to hear that it was actually 30. So, and you could tell, too, the negative stuff while he was at Michigan State got to him, and he just shut it all down and quit paying attention.
I think you have to do that. I mean, I just can't imagine. I mean, everyone's so accessible these days with social media, and you can find college students' emails pretty easily if you just use your brain and use the domain name. You can get a hold of them, and so it's gotta wear on you. I mean, you're a 20, 21 year old kid. I mean, know.
Yeah.
Most adults wouldn't be able to handle people coming to their office and, you know, chewing them out, you know, random people off the streets. So I could get that.
Yeah, in our dealing.
But I don't know what the hell he's doing having his DMs open. Yeah. That's his first mistake.
Yeah, and our dealings with him, too, you could tell by, you know, certainly 18 and by last year, you get kind of done with it. And you don't blame the guy. It's just things never go. It was always, wait, it was 2017. What happened? Yeah. Well, you know, it's not always just him. You know?
Right. No.
So it's,
That's, you know, that goes with the territory. You're the quarterback in the Big Ten. I mean, you know, I mean, you have to deal with that, unfairly or not, but it'd be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, he's definitely an athletic guy. I mean, he's certainly
he's
more athletic than I think people gave him credit for. You know, his accuracy, you know, with the, you know, who knows if injuries played a role in that. And we'll see. I mean, you know, I mean, he certainly looked like he could become a big-time player in the Big Ten, and it just, you know, didn't work out for whatever, you know, for a variety of reasons. Certainly not all of them is doing. So,
yeah, he's – and that's the thing, too. He always – I mean, the guy was always – no matter how it was going, he was always out there every week. You know, he understood the role of the quarterback and a leader of the team. So it was, you know, he matured a lot. And you're right. I mean, the some of the things, whether it was the accuracy, the consistency wasn't there at times. But I still don't think that's limiting his opportunity in the NFL. I think he's going to get a shot however it happens. And it's not going to surprise me at all if Brian Lewerke is the next MSU guy you hear just
hanging around.
Yeah, you know, and he gets it, he backs up here and there, and because he's that kind of guy. And I just – that's not going to surprise me one bit. Yeah. If Brian Lewerke has a career a lot like Brian Hoyer, I can see that, you know, getting the spot starts when they need him and not hurting a team in a playoff run, that sort of stuff. You could do a heck of a lot worse than that. So,
So the draft, who else we got? We got to look for Michigan State wise.
Yeah, the top guys, I think, you know, the first few guys to keep an eye on are Joe Bocci, as we, you know, Brian talked about a little. Josiah Scott's a corner that a lot of guys like. I don't think – let's be clear, none of these guys are first-round guys. Right. But I think you see Bocci and Scott maybe in that second day, the second, third round. Raekwon Williams, too, as a defensive tackle, he's a guy – another guy, too, that's – some people love him, some don't. So you could see him kind of go anywhere at that point. But he's – been productive enough, you could see him go on that second day. Kenny Wilkes, too, is the guy we talked about, is another guy. You know, he doesn't have the prototypical size, I guess, that and speed that some people want to see, but the guy does nothing but produce. So he's going to go somewhere in the middle of the draft. I'm going to be forgetting guys' names here. You got Cody White, who left early, Daryl Stewart, a couple of receivers. We'll see.
For a bad team, they got a lot of guys that are up for the draft.
They do, and I think these are all guys that can get drafted. But there's a handful of them, like Ryan and Cody White, Daryl Stewart, that are those day three kind of guys that
And even if Brian, I mean, even if he doesn't get drafted, I mean, it'll take about 10 minutes for him to sign an unrestricted
free. Oh, yeah. He's at,
He'll be in camp with somebody.
He will absolutely be in camp with somebody. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And maybe Mike Panasuk is a guy to keep an eye on, another defensive tackle. Doesn't wow anybody with the measurables, but he produces. So those are, and unless I'm forgetting something, he mentioned Tyler Higbee, an offensive versatile offensive lineman, but we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of guys that potentially could go. It's just a matter of where. I'm probably forgetting a couple others, but those are, who am I forgetting? David Dowell, safety, might, another late round, more free agent type guy. So those are the ones to keep an eye on, but you know, we'll see. I don't know how this thing's gonna go. We gotta watch this thing at tier on it. This whole remote draft thing.
I gotta work in the office in the web shift on Saturday morning and be paying attention to the thrilling rounds of the. You know, no offense to Brian, I'm not a big NFL fan, so it's not very thrilling to me. So I'll be paying attention to that, and as I'm sure you will, and Angelique will be paying attention to the Michigan guys, and we'll have all the draft coverage. Justin Rogers is already killing it with Lions coverage. You know, it's the one thing we're going to have, you know, it's something normal. We have an NFL draft, even if it's remotely, you know, at least we're going to have one. So you know, it'll be something to pay attention to for a change. You know, the documentary was a good start yesterday with Michael Jordan and the NFL draft this weekend. So
I don't know if you saw Lewerke when he got his first degree last year, he did like the LeBron celebration thing as he was going across.
Oh yeah.
the whatever, man.
I don't know. I don't think, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer. It's MJ, but then again, we grew up watching MJ, so maybe we're
maybe we're
just old fogies.
That's the thing with any of these debates is depends on what how old you are, who'd you watch. Right. You know, I mean, it's the same with. I mean, are we now we're suddenly eliminating guys like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, and you know what about the whole era before them? I mean, no. Whatever. It's
no eras change, and athletes get bigger and stronger, and you know that's just the reality of the world. Other than that, how's quarantine treating you?
Oh, it's a blast.
You and I both need to shave a little bit. Me probably a little bit more than you.
I'm a mess. My hair when I take this hat off, I know.
I need to find a barber who will come to the house. I'm sure they're out there.
Can't you order a Flobee on Amazon or something?
What's that?
You don't know what a Flobee is?
No.
Oh, come on, Google it. Maybe you really are 41. You got to Google Flobee.
How do you spell it?
I don't remember. It was one of these infomercial things. It's basically like clippers connected to like a vacuum hose.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's supposed to give you the perfect haircut and then no hair would be able because it's just sucking it into the vacuum.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it looks kind of like it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting pretty close to the going military here with the.
So am I. I was thinking about it.
I think a lot of people are going to be doing that. And I'll tell you, when this thing all opens up, barbers are going to be very rich.
Yeah, we did a Zoom call the other day with all these MSU beat guys and former guys, and Kyle Austin of M Live has gone military.
Has he? He's smart.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Whereas the rest of us have become
lazy.
Yeah, there's some. Whew, there are some facial hair going, and
yeah, I know. And that's ridiculous too, because like we can shave. Like you know, it's not like we can't shave. You know, but I've just kind of been totally like screw it and. But I might just do the buzz cut on the head, though. I think that's probably getting to that point.
It's easy to say that when I wear shorts or pajama pants every day. And
see, I won't do that. Like, I got to get up in the morning. I got to take my shower. I got to put on my work clothes. Although today I am wearing a Michigan State hoodie. I'll be exposed for that. But I only wear it in the house, so I've been wearing it a little bit more lately because I haven't left the house. But I gotta get up. I gotta take the shower. I gotta put on some work clothes usually. Makes me feel normal. Like you know, otherwise I feel just sluggish and kind of lack of energy. So I don't know. For me, it does the trick. You know, I get out. I still walk. You know, walk a mile a day. You know, I gotta do it. Like because otherwise, I just the days where I haven't done that and been lazy, and there only been a couple. It's just I just felt like. You're just wasting away here, and I don't want that to be the case. So.
Well, I've developed a routine. It's different than normal, but it's still, and you know, whatever. It's,
I guess any kind of routine, as long as you have a routine of some kind. I mean, it doesn't have to be wearing, you know, work clothes. I guess people can wear, you know, you can wear your pajama bottoms and your flip flops or whatever. But I don't know. For me, I gotta take the shower and put on what I would normally wear to work, just to kind of get
shower,
the right frame of mind.
Yeah, it's flipped for me in regular life. That's how I am too. I get up, take my shower, and I'm on with the day. Where now it's like I've developed a later routine where I sleep a little bit later, but usually in the afternoon is when we work out or exercise, and so it's like around dinner time or after I take a shower.
Oh, okay.
So then when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel like I need another shower. So I'm just in my shorts or whatever working, and then it's developed that way. It's not very. Doesn't work in regular life, but
right. Well, that's fair enough. Whatever.
So it's not like I'm not clean or anything.
Whatever works. Whatever. Yeah. I found out, by the way, that you know my, I found out I think I'm allergic to latex gloves, which is horrible right now.
Oh,
because my hands are like blistering, like over on the knuckles. So I was talking with Angelique yesterday, and she was saying, "Oh, you might be allergic to latex gloves." So I got to find another solution for that. Other than that, I'm going to go get on with my birthday, you know, big party here, big rager, me, myself, and I, and be a good time.
Should be exciting.
That was Brian Lewerke. He joined us earlier on the podcast. Matt's going to be following the NFL draft, as well as Angelique for the U of M guys and Justin Rogers for the Lions. So make sure you pay attention to all that at DetroitNews.com. This was episode 31 of the Green Room. Episode 32 will come at you.
Whatever.
I feel like it. We're going to be a little bit more relaxed about the schedule here. We're going to do them when we can and when they feel right. We're not going to force it. You know, we got you got other stuff to worry about. We got other stuff to worry about. So when we when we need to do a podcast, we'll do one. So, yeah, that was it. Check out DetroitNews.com for all your draft coverage. Matthew, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you at the poker table soon.
Yeah, see ya.
All right, buddy.